anything is how you will do everything. And the lessons you learn in jiu-jitsu on the mat teach you to be a better human being off the mat.
Okay, well, welcome back to the Jiu-Jitsu Mindset. My name is Pete Dealey, and I'm here with my professor, Professor Lucas Huba. Professor, good morning.
Good morning. Hello, guys. Welcome back, everyone. It looks like it's been a minute, huh?
Yeah, but we're back. And for those of you listening in the future, it is the day before Thanksgiving on the year is 2022, and it's the day before Thanksgiving. And so in the true Thanksgiving fashion, Professor, you are a great blessing to me as both a friend and a teacher to me. So I'm thankful for you in the holiday, and I have my submission coffee here to toast over the Zoom call here.
There you go. I'm thankful for your friendship as well, Peter, and your partnership. What's your plans tomorrow for Thanksgiving? That's an important day, man.
So my primary goal for Thanksgiving is to resist the urges to overindulge, because Saturday I have that tournament. So I sadly am one of those people who kind of cut the weight closely. So there will not be lots of feasting. But other than that, we're going to do what everybody else is doing, have a great feast day. But get this, my daughter has an equine therapy business. So she works with people to, you know, overcome various issues with the use of horses. And she has this little mini horse, and it's called Cookie. And this horse is, it's disturbingly small. It's like a toy. And we're going to go over in the morning, and some people are going to do turkey trots. We're going to do the Cookie trot. So we're going to take this horse and walk around the neighborhood and enjoy.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, it is going to be fun. How about you guys?
So I guess I'm not seeing you tomorrow to open that.
The children are going to win the time contest tomorrow.
Fair enough.
We don't get enough of that with them. So, yes. But how about you, other than open mat?
Open mat, right? And then right after open mat, for those who know, World Cup's happening. So Brazil is playing the very first game tomorrow at noon against Serbia. Nothing against Serbia, but I hope Brazil will crush them. And well, right after, just chill a little bit, meet some friends and have some good food gathering, and you know, be thankful for so many good things happening.
Where are you going to watch the game? Is there do you have a station that you can watch it in the house, or are you going to go
outside? Watch on ESPN, Fox Sport.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to watch at home, because I have the tendency to curse too much when I'm watching soccer. So I will keep by myself here.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Most important, even more important than Brazil win, is Argentina losing. So Argentina lost yesterday, so that's a good start. And Germany just lost against Japan.
Oh, my gosh.
Crazy thing.
Yeah, England crushed somebody too. I was surprised. I haven't watched the game yet. It's funny. I was watching a World Cup many years ago with somebody who wasn't really, you know, a soccer fan, and they were like, "I'm not used to seeing you like this." Something about World Cup soccer that really brings out the fanness.
Even for me, I don't remember the last time that I actually watched a soccer game.
Right,
but now World Cup, get back on like 10 years old, just crazy yelling, you know.
Argentina getting beat by South Arabia.
That's amazing.
Well, you know, the Copa del Mundo is, you know, you get the big trophy at the end. And so people working for the recognition of the championship. And we have a version of that coming up here at the gym, in a sense, right? We're going to do a belt promotion on December 3rd. And so I was hoping today we could talk about like belt promotion ceremonies and belts in general. And I wanted to get your perspective on like why it's important, you know, one, to have the ceremony, and two, you know, it marks an achievement of sorts, but that achievement is both a combination of the community and the individual. So, but maybe we could start here. Why should we have belts at all? Like, why don't we come in and just all wear the same color belt? Like, why have a belt?
First of all, I love bell promotions. I mean, the ceremony, right? I think it's a super important day for the school, for the professors, coaches, for, of course, for those that are getting their belts, but also for the teammates, because you're happy for your friend that, it, you know, achieving that next level. But more than all this, I think it's important for friends and family that go there and watch and celebrate together, you know, because those that are receiving the belt and those that are there to watch their teammates receive the belt, you know how the environment works, right? You are there almost every day at the mat. So you guys, you know what you do. But having people from outside going to the jiu-jitsu gym maybe for the very first time and see that brotherhood, that friendship, you know, that amazing environment, that's when you see the true value of what we do, right? As a jiu-jitsu instructors and students and everything else.
Right.
So for, and you see, I love to have the students talk a little bit, right, about their belt, about their journey until to get there, because you can share important moments of your life that sometimes you don't share on a daily basis. And a lot of people can connect with each other through those speeches, right? So anyway, I love it. I always think it's a really important day. But you know, jiu-jitsu wasn't always like that, right?
Right.
I actually don't know when the belt system started.
Right.
But on the early days of jiu-jitsu was pretty much only two belts. It was a white belt and a black belt.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're a white belt for a day or for 5 years.
Right.
You're going to be wearing the same belt. And then on the day that you become a professor, you're going to be wearing the black belt.
Right.
And the system started to change because, of course, you're going to the level of a white belt with 5 years of experience against a white belt with a month of experience, completely different.
Right.
So having the other martial arts as an example as well, you start to have some, okay, what should you do next? What can be a next good belt after the white, you know, a certain level of transition. Okay, so let's have a blue belt and then purple and then brown and then, you know, then you start to evolve on that way. But in the beginning, it was white and black, and that's it.
Yeah, I was thinking about our podcast before we got on this morning. And when I was in my first experiences with martial arts, right, there was Black Belt magazine. And I'm talking, but this is like 1980s before you're born, right? Like, so I'm reading this edition of Black Belt magazine once, and they're talking about the belts, and they're saying, listen, in the ancient times, the fighter would go into the fighting pit with his white belt. And if he survived long enough over the years as a fighter, the belt would just naturally turn black because there was so much dirt and grime that kind of, you know, and so you knew that you were fighting someone experienced because their belt had turned black over the years.
Yeah.
Now, I have no idea if that's true, but it's a great, like, you know, magazine experience as a kid that always stayed with me. As a practical matter, I mean, walking in and seeing a brown belt indicates to you, this is somebody who has, you know, if you're a new person, then you know this person is has much more experience than the person wearing a white belt. And I mean, from a from a knowing who is in the room with you, the belts, I think, tell each other, like, okay, here we are, relative experience. From a business perspective, I mean, we all need a way to mark our moments. I think it'd be harder to keep somebody like interested if you don't have a way to kind of mark the moment. So it makes sense as like, hey, there is a business component to all of this.
You know, I have a funny fact on this belt thing. So when jiu-jitsu started to grow a little bit more in Brazil on around like 70s and 80s, you know, it was a things start to get a little bit out of control in terms of growing. A lot of black belts start to just like show up, you know, oh, who's that guy? He's a black belt, but under who? Because, you know, remember that it was really small until then, right? It was pretty much the Grace family, another family, and their students. So they knew each other.
Right.
So when Ilio Grace started to see other guys getting black belt and not telling anyone under who they are a black belt, in formal protest, Ilio started to use a blue belt.
Oh.
So for many, many years, and I believe Royce Grace does the same now just to honor his dad. He doesn't wear a black or a coral belt or a red, whatever it is. It was a kind of like a navy blue not like a regular blue belt, but like navy blue. So that was his term of protest. Like, they are not giving, you know, much credit for the black belt anymore. So I'm going to use a blue belt.
Dude, just, so I'll just, I'm going to, call myself my own belt. Yeah, I think, so, I mean, that's, so that brings up the point of like, well, first of all, as it relates to the ceremony, and I want to come back to that later, but one of like, one of the ways in which you've impressed me is the way that you conduct these belt ceremonies, because you do, you have such an extraordinary like knowledge of us as students, and as people come and receive, you know, their belt, you're able to make it personal to them, which I think is an extraordinary thing, because for that moment in time, that person is aware that you've been watching them, that they get this belt because you know enough about them to recognize that this is, you know, I think that's an extraordinary, thing that a person can experience. And I think you build great community in those moments because it matters so much to us that kind of receive that. But, the hoist wearing a blue belt, I think, is a way to say that the belt doesn't tell the whole story, right? So in your years of giving people belts and being, you know, part of those belt promotions, what do you think is happening in that day? Like, what can you describe, like, why it is important to the community and why it is important to the individual?
I think in many different ways. Like, first, just the appearance, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's the first one, like white to blue, right? Because you see all your improvement, you're doing really good, and maybe after a year and something, being a white belt, training consistent, you already like thousand miles away from someone that never trained jiu-jitsu before or martial art, right? So you can handle yourself really well against like new people or people on your level, right? But at the same time, if you're putting so much time on this sport, on this art, and then you're talking about jiu-jitsu for everyone, and then, oh, that's awesome, like, what belt are you? And it's like, white, you know? And nothing against, but everyone in the world knows that white belt is the most beginner level, right? So I think in a unconscious way, sometimes you want to change that first belt, especially just to be like a little bit different than like a brand new person, like a beginner, and try to kind of like see more, be more respect, you know, from the others. I would say, even if people don't say, I'm sure this is a big factor, you know, like, I'm not wearing a white belt anymore and be tired to be, you know, it looks like you're more advanced, which again, it's just a different color.
Right.
Your jiu-jitsu won't increase dramatically just because you put a new belt on your waist.
Sure.
You know, that just that you keep training and dedicate yourself. So this for sure. And also, everyone like jiu-jitsu being so long, the belts are not handled in a short amount of time, right? You have a minimum time for each belt. And that minimum time can take, you know, sometimes like a year, year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. I spent like more than 5 years in some of my belts. Right. It's a long time.
Right.
So a lot of things, like a college degree almost, you know, a lot of things happen between that time. So when you get to the time that we're changing that color, you getting promoted is like a new chapter of your journey. So you take the best as you can take from everything that happened on that journey before. And I think for harder it is to get to that jiu-jitsu level, for harder that it was your life between that period of time, for whatever reason outside the mat, it's kind of like a new goal now.
Yes,
you know, it's something else, you know. So I think that's also something really important.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as human beings, when we expend a lot of energy on something, that seeing, well, where does the energy go? You know, I mean, and that the belt is sort of a way to say, it's almost like this represents, you know, 18 months of my life, you know, like my white belt, that's a solid 7 years before you gave me the blue belt, right? Or whatever. So, I mean, I think we crave the notion of like having to mark the moment.
Sorry to interrupt you,
not at all.
But it's also the human being needs to be aware for something, right?
Yeah.
So it's like you do something, you work so hard, and then that belt will, for you, will show that, okay, I earned something, this change. And again, it's awesome. You have a new belt and everything. The feeling is amazing. But again, nothing will change if you don't keep investing your time and committing to that, right?
Well, without a doubt. And I mean, and we'll come back to the notion of the blue belt curse, because, you know, sometimes the distance between, you know, blue to purple is a different, I think, transition than white to blue. But what the other thing I was thinking about in preparation for today is that, unlike other disciplines, you can't really, you can spend a lot of time watching videos, you could read books about jiu-jitsu, but you don't arrive, you can't learn jiu-jitsu without people to train with, you know. It's the community is, without the community of training partners, of professors, you really can't advance. This isn't something that can be learned in a vacuum.
Jazilio Grace, he's the only one.
Minus the Albert Einstein of jiu-jitsu, right? But that, I mean, it seems, so it's interesting to me, because what I experience in your belt promotions, which is the only ones that I've participated in, is this feeling that, hey, we're celebrating you as an individual, and you give nice details to like call out the person as an individual. And then you give a moment where the person can actually say something too, which I think kind of cements in their memory, you know, that they're accepting, you know, the compliment, they're accepting also the award. But in that moment, sitting around this mat are all these people that have been on this journey with them, and they're bonded in a way that, you know, is, I feel like, is unique. And so their accomplishment sits in the effort of not just themselves, but the effort of the community too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it, every time we have a belt promotion, brings us closer together as a community.
I agree. Yes.
You know, because we're celebrating those white to blues, which is super important. Mm-hmm. But then we have other folks that have been with us and trained with you for a long time that are now starting to demonstrate higher levels of skills and mastery. Mm-hmm. And that's a different type of achievement.
Yes. Yes. And I think my thought process, let me just say that I celebrate, one of the reasons why I like so much the belt ceremonies, mm-hmm. because myself, I'm celebrating the effort.
Yes.
I'm celebrating your commitment. I'm celebrating how much time you're putting to do this, mm-hmm. right? Again, the belt's awesome. It's just like a image, something representative that you can touch and, you know, and everyone can see. But none of this would happen if you're not putting your effort over there. And right. that's why the belts are so specific. So yes, of course, you do have some criterias and some requirements. Mm-hmm. For the belts, for the promotions, but you can never ever compare yourself with someone else. The journeys are completely different. The individuals are different. The skill levels, the background, your life, your day, like everything is different.
Right.
So you can never like give like only one requirement for the belt happen, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we've used this expression, the blue belt curse, right? So people will achieve this first level of competency, that they go from being a beginner to being less than a beginner, to having some, you know, basic understanding of the sport. But often they don't persist to a purple belt. So I'm curious, like I'll throw out my idea about what might happen. Mm-hmm. I'm curious in your experience, what your perception is. But as a blue belt myself, it is very obvious to me that there are plenty of white belts that I can roll with who will, that just because I'm a blue belt doesn't mean that I'm going to win this moment of sparring and the moment of specific training. And if I was 25 rather than 52, that would probably affect me psychologically differently than I do now. However, I can imagine being discouraged, like, well, I've been doing this for 14, 16, 18 months. However, somebody 4 months in and they're like, well, they give up. I'm not quite sure why people don't persist, because I guess I'm so in love with the experience that, like, I think, oh, everybody would have the same. Like, if you hang in for a year, why would you not continue on?
Yeah.
Why do people leave, like, after having that first achievement?
I think a couple of reasons. First is one of the longest belt. You're going to stay there in the blue belt for a while, at least like 2 years. Okay, like 2 years and a half sometimes, or even more, because again, being a longer belt, the chance for life happens in between that time is just bigger, right? So it can take more than that. And again, coming back to that, the human being needs to be praised, right? Needs to be rewarded for something. So when you take so much time and you're not getting a reward for that, you start to get a little bit demotivated, right? To keep doing. So that's, I think, is the reason number one. Not putting your order like the most important to the last important. Sure. Just like
a reason, some. Right?
Yeah. Another reason is exactly what you're saying. It doesn't mean that if you're a blue belt, you can easily close your eyes and smash all the white belts. You know, it doesn't work that way. And that can be really frustrating. Really, people understand that they are not evolving. They are not understanding the techniques anymore. They are having a hard time. And that changes like this night and day. Just because you have a new belt is unconscious, you know, most part of the times. So, and at the same time, the purple belt, think like this. If the blue belt is one of the longer belt and they pass through that, so their level of skills are bigger, right?
Sure.
So your battles against the purple belt would be surviving mode almost.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. That's if what not, you told me. Like, hey, you know, your job is to escape and survive for the first four years.
If not all the time, you know, so you were on that limbo, you know, on not necessarily over, you know, do everything with the white belts, have a really tough role if your the belts are the same color as you, and probably surviving mode and your victory on those some competitive roles will be like, okay, today I tap only three times and then only two times, you know, against the higher ranks. So it is, you struggle in all aspects, you know, but at the same time, because of that, is the belt that you, if you pass, you're going to grow the most. If you get to the purple belt, so if you pass your blue belt and get to purple, you might take some breaks, but you won't stop.
Right.
I guarantee you might take like 20 years to get to the black belt.
Right.
But you got the grind, you know, you understand that this way more than the next belt. If you just, if you're on a road trip, you keep looking to the next gas station, you won't look anything else on your side. You won't enjoy anything. When you look further to your destiny, you enjoy everything that you're passing through, you know, so that's how it should be.
Right. Yeah. I was going to ask that question. I think, you know, that notion of just like your belt, don't let that be a point of comparison, because then you could easily be discouraged or maybe falsely encouraged too, right? I mean, I think you don't want to think, well, my belt means that I will always have this particular, you know, always win or whatever.
Hansel Gracie, Pete, has a say. I don't know if I can say that, so you can add it. He says, someone asked him about like so many people getting the black belt, and same thing like you were talking before, like under who, you know, you don't even know that guy's not credentialed or anything. So Hansel, what do you think about people, all those people getting their black belts in jiu-jitsu, don't even know them? And he's like, well, the belt cover only is an inch of his butt, the rest is up to him. So doesn't matter what belt you're wearing, man, you need to be able to handle that, you know.
Yeah, there's certainly, for those people interested in competing, when you step into, you know, you better own your rank if you're going to go, you know, put it, I will be a Hubo black belt at some point in time, you know, sometime in the distant future. When you observe people moving from one, you know, we spend a lot of time talking about the beginning journey, you know, hang in, get to the blue belt, and then in the blue belt, it's a long journey, you know, it's worth it to continue to develop your vocabulary to get to purple belt. Like purple belts and brown belts, are there common things that they experience? There's, now that you know, I've been in the jiu-jitsu community for a few years. I see all these memes come through about, you know, this is the stereotype of a white belt, this is the stereotype of a blue belt and purple belt. So I'm sure they come from something, right? So right? They're based on some sort of reality. Are there common things that as you go along, you experience as a purple belt and a brown belt?
Yeah, it's funny. That's really funny, actually, because it feels like the purple belt, again, I'm talking things that, you know, my psychology is being trying to recognize some things. But after when you get your purple belt and then you pass through that battle, that is a blue belt, right?
Right.
You kind of like relax, you know, I did the right thing. I did the hard thing. So the meme is usually is like the purple belt skipping warm up, you know, again, a little bit late, just rolled, and I already know some things. And I think it's just that you get reality is you're proud of your work to be able to get there. You know,
right.
It's not like being cocky or anything like that. It's just, and I did like a really hard thing, and I kind of earned being able to do that, you know.
Right. Sure.
Of course, not every purple belt that is this, but it's funny because it ends up being a thing, you know.
It's common. And, yeah.
Yeah. Brown belt, it changed because brown belt, now you're, and I'm close to black belt, you know.
Right.
So your posture on the mat needs to change.
Yes.
You're not the purple belt having fun on the mat anymore, you know. And not saying that the purple belts are, you know, just want to have fun and, you know, be crazy on the mat. No, but you have more responsibilities because you're that close to a brown belt, to a black belt.
Right.
And for the next years, you need to show, you need to change, you need to be a black belt, not only on a technical way, but your posture, your behavior, your attitude, on your leadership, you know. So brown belt things change. You start to be more serious, you know. Right. Purple belt's like that, a fun belt for sure.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when we've talked about your achieving your black belt, I mean, one of the things that I loved hearing you talk about was that achieving the black belt for you was not just about being recognized as being a professor of jiu-jitsu, but it was a way to kind of accept a leadership role in the community that you were a black belt and accepting that, okay, people look at me differently now. I have a different set of responsibilities. And back to my community. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to me that you talk about like that for the brown belts, like getting closer to that responsibilities. Cause we've had, you know, a couple of brown belt promotions in the last year. And, and as human beings, like I respect our, you know, we have a wonderful community. I respect everybody, but I mean, these men that got a chance to achieve that level are, I think, exhibit a lot of those great qualities that I think you and I would agree, like in the community, mm-hmm. we would want these type of leaders. Have you found that throughout the jiu-jitsu community? I mean, have you found that linkage between having a certain type of character being paired with a certain type of physical skill common, or is that more unique to our circumstance? I mean, does the jiu-jitsu community as a big community link character and belts or at least expert belts together?
I'm not sure if I understood the question, Pete. Can you?
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is like you being a black belt was also you accepting certain responsibilities. And for me, that's connected to your character, you know, like for you, the black belt could mean like, this means I am the apex predator, right?
Got it.
But it wasn't just that you're better at jiu-jitsu than other people. It's like you want to be a better person too. And we talk about like jiu-jitsu on the mats helps you off the mats. And that differentially, the more jiu-jitsu you have, you know, I think that it can make you a better person. You know, if I can be so bold as to say that.
Okay. I think life gives us opportunity to improve ourselves, right?
Right.
And that's my belief. I think we should be improving by the time to achieve whatever we will achieve on our journey here, right? And I see jiu-jitsu in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to have a ton of meatheads being a black belt, you know, but that's just how people is.
Sure.
But by then, you should be you should be more evolved, I would say, you know.
Yeah.
What I like a lot also about jiu-jitsu is those minimum times per belt and age, that just show that it's not everyone right away that will get to the black belt or to other belts in jiu-jitsu, right?
Right.
Again, not saying anything bad about the other martial arts, but I can believe that you can have a 10 or a 9-year-old kid being a third degree black belt in a martial art.
Right, right.
You don't have, on that age, you won't even have coordination to execute the movements.
Sure.
You won't have like time enough on that journey in your life to know enough about the skills to get to the level. And for me, the bigger part is,
right,
you don't have the maturity. You don't have, you know, how are you going to be an example? How you can't, you know? So that's crazy for me.
Yeah.
And jiu-jitsu has that. Jiu-jitsu has the opposite to that, actually, right? You have a minimum age. You have a time, you know? So
yes,
I see that when you get your black belt in jiu-jitsu, you're able to expend a lot of time on that art. And again, we should try to improve ourselves and evolve on, but the time goes by. So when you get to the black belt, you should be in a different spirit level,
yes,
right? Where you see things more than only a jiu-jitsu fight. You
right.
see people more like as individuals, right? Not just about, oh, okay, this guy is good, this guy is coordinated, this guy is uncoordinated. You need to try to look a little bit deeper in that, understand the reasons why people are doing jiu-jitsu, and try to maximize all those reasons to have them enjoy and have the true benefits that the art will give to you, you know? Not
yes,
just about
right.
the confidence on learning the skills,
yes.
but on that huge network and, you know, and brotherhood and everything else that we talk.
Right. So I don't have experience like training in lots of different jiu-jitsu gyms around the world, you know? So, I mean, I don't have that. However, you know, I feel really fortunate to have come to jiu-jitsu at my particular age and to have been exposed to Hicks and Gracie at kind of the same time, because when I read his book and I, you know, watch his videos in the various places, and that he spends as much time talking about sort of his spiritual disposition as he does mm-hmm. about invisible jiu-jitsu and his
yes.
technical expertise. And his physical, his body, you know, as a great fighter over such a long period of time, carries the marks of having spent a lifetime of fighting.
Yeah.
And he talks about like, well, the limitations of the body he has now versus the body he had as a 20-year-old. So although I don't have like experience training lots of places, I think of him as perhaps the greatest jiu-jitsu fighter in the history
yes.
of the sport. And where he has come to is that what feels like is equally important to him as his skills is his attitudes and beliefs and how it shaped his character.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been a great attraction to me as somebody who intends to train until he dies. You know, he had videos of him and his dad at 95 rolling on the mats, you know, and what was going on with them was not just physical training, but like it had deeper meanings to that. I think as we, part of our audience, you know, we're encouraging the people to consider jiu-jitsu and to find a school. And we've asked that, like, hey, if you're going to go look at a school to go sit in on classes and see how they teach and see how, you know, what type of values they're conveying on the mats too. And I would encourage, you know, you, if you're listening to us and trying to decide, do I want to try this or not, is to try to glean who's leading the school. Like, are they just teaching techniques and physical movements, or are they teaching something deeper than that? Because I think to make it to the purple belts, make it to the brown belts, kind of, you know, persist all the way into it, you'll only do that if you connect your training to the
yes.
deeper parts of who you are,
yes.
you know, and we use that expression all the time, like get comfortable being uncomfortable. You only achieve that with, because you develop a spiritual part of who you are, because the body will break, bones break, people die. Yeah. You know, like life happens, and you can't control everything. So the things that you can control are those deeper feelings that you have, those deeper attitudes. I mean, was that? Yeah.
I agree 100%. Jiu-jitsu is hard, right? And it doesn't mean it won't be hard just at the beginning. Always will be hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you don't connect, if you don't understand and be open and mindful about everything that you're passing on the mats and learning on our all experiencing all aspects, right? Not just rowing, right, but what you're feeling as you're training. If you don't connect on that way, you won't pursue your jiu-jitsu.
Right.
Because why are you going to keep doing something that is so hard that you are not connected, right? You're only going to be able to do that for so much.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's important you create that connection, that bond with your training partners. Sorry.
Yeah.
With your professor and, you know, mm-hmm. in the art, right? By saying like that.
Yeah.
Find something that is way more important than just the next goal, just a winning, just a victory, or just submission. Because when things start to get hard again, that's when you quit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I mean, the belt promotion ceremony, the way that you construct the belt promotion ceremony calls attention to the idea that we're in this together. And what I feel like it does is it shows all of us that are a part of this community that we care about each other. Like, people show up and they sit for a couple of hours, you know, they spend part of their weekend, and they indicate those people not getting the belts that we're with you, you know, and things can change on a dime, you know, things, your life is just fine. And then in a moment, something can come up, and there are, the support of the community in those times of when things are difficult is so important. And you don't always realize it's that the community is there for you. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, as we're talking about developing the interior life, you know, developing the spiritual life, I think that's a personal pursuit. And then allowing yourself to be a part of the community to both support, like show up, support you, and be supported, you know, allow yourself to experience that, hey, I think is it spiritual discipline also, right? To accept the affection and the support and the love of the people around you, much in the same way physically, right? Like you're trying to have, you know, you're trying to make somebody tap, you're trying to resist it. You trust them to not hurt you. I mean, that's, you know, and that you trust that this whole process of discomfort is actually has a positive impact, and that only happens between people. You can't do that on your own.
And learn also how to, because in jiu-jitsu, you have feedbacks all the time, right?
Right.
And that's one of the awesome part about jiu-jitsu. Sometimes in life, we do so many things, and just like way later on, you see like, oh my, I should change the way how I did, you know, 20 years ago. But in jiu-jitsu, any mistake that you do, you live with the consequence right away.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
And that not just about your personal, like, your individual journey on making mistakes as you train and get caught in positions.
Right.
But also being a bad training partner, being that guy that is rough, that guy that has muscle everything, that guy that is muscling strength over technique over and over and over, and not tapping and lean the weight and being rough in all ways as possible as you can imagine doing jiu-jitsu. This is gonna last so long, because people will give you the feedback, and you should be smart enough and sensitive enough to read that without people telling that to you.
Right.
Every message and signs from whoever entity you recognize to you is nothing it's not a text message. Hey, by the way, someone telling you.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the environment's showing you, and you need to be sensitive enough to recognize that, right? If people are walking a little bit away from you on the road, or like walking down, or trying to live early, or not resist, you need to see this again, because this might not be a good sign, you know?
Yeah, I hadn't thought about it in that way. That's a great point, because if you're learning to be a part of the community, is learning to not always make it about what you want it to be about. You know, like if you're just, you're stronger than somebody, and you're 50 pounds heavier, and you're more skilled, and you don't accept the role of like teaching. You're just proving the point. Yes, I can beat you every single time, no matter what you do, and so on and so forth. Then you're not really joining the community. You're not helping anybody. Yeah. And if you don't pick up on that, then that's a wonderful point, that it should refine your sensitivity to what's going on around you. Yeah, that improves every part of your life if you kind of. Well, good. Well, on the eve of Thanksgiving, we're about 10 days away from our belt promotion here, and I'm looking forward to attending. And for me, I'm at a point in my life where the process is more important than than anything else. And so I'm grateful for where I am in my life to come to jiu-jitsu, because it allows me to kind of settle into, I'm not in any hurry to. I'm actually glad that you're right about getting the blue. It did matter to me to change the blue belt. Makes it, but I'm in no hurry to get the purple belt. I want to make sure when I put it on, I deserve it. But with that, Professor, anything else you would say about the notion of belts that you'd want our audience to take with us?
I think, like we always talk, right? Like, enjoy every moment that you have. Look all the way further as your goal to improve yourself. Learning the skill and the techniques is consequence on all the life lessons that we have. Be try to be mindful and sensitive and mean like everything that we're doing on the mat. Not only for yourself, but for the others as well, because we don't know sometimes sometimes we don't talk about this, but the way how you react or act towards that person on that day can change the world for them. It change everything. You never know like how bad that person or whatever issue that person is dealing on that time, and having that moment without like a little bit away from the reality can help them to keep going on the right direction, right? And about the belts, like again, we can never compare each other's journey. Everyone comes from different backgrounds, different skills, age, weight, coordination, like again, wrestling, like whatever, judo, different backgrounds that can be associated to jiu-jitsu. So never like look. Never think that I'm not receiving this belt, but that guy it is, and I smash him. This can be true, okay? This can be true, but you don't know what that person did to be able to get you that belt. You don't know, like you might be a great athlete. That guy like never done an exercise on his life. You are super confident. That guy now is able to talk with people and look at their eyes and start to put himself on the right spot. Your life might be really colorful when that guy's dealing with depression. So on his life, he was able to just achieve the next level, regardless the how much he can actually do the technique. So he's getting promoted absolutely for sure. Having of course the minimal requirements for that next level, but everyone has their own reasons why they're getting promoted, and if you keep comparing yourself to others, you're never going to enjoy your own moment as well.
That's
So that
good.
starts to be not something so meaningful for you anymore.
Very wise, Professor. I like it. I mean, so we have like our own individual paths, and we have to honor that. And those paths exist in the context of the community. So, we how we behave affects the community, and how the community reacts to us affects us. And I mean, it's all connected. So I think those are, so if you're listening, I think these are ideas to take into the gyms that are around you, and see, what you're observing in terms of what type of community they're building, how they're treating each other. Does it look like people are supporting and trying to encourage people, or are they, is it always every moment of the day, about competition? So, Well, Professor, happy Thanksgiving. And I'm grateful for our community that you have built for us. And I'm grateful for you. So,
thank you, brother. Happy Thanksgiving. And let's everyone, 12 o'clock tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, let's watch Brazil play.
That's right. Go Brazil. All right. Well, I'll sneak Italy into our next conversation because I feel like if they come to meet each other, I'm sorry, Professor, I'm going to have to be on the other eye.